This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, Episode 8. Let's do this. All right, everybody. Today I'm pumped. I got Adam Craig in the studio today. Now, Adam is, he's just on fire with everything he touches right now. He has a business selling products on Amazon, pulling a very respectable six-figure income on that. He's doing buy and hold real estate in my local Cleveland market with an entirely different approach than I do, and he's cash flow positive on that. And he has a little bit of dabbling in affiliate marketing. So we're going to cover all these topics with him today and find out exactly how he got to this point to be so successful. So Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thanks for coming in. So let's get right into this here. I mean, we both know each other around the way, and I know what kind of numbers you're pulling with your Amazon sales. Tell us what exactly you're doing on there to be achieving this.
Yeah, sure. So pretty much my main business is digital cameras, photography equipment, lenses, pretty much anything electronics. Company name's Upbeat Electronics. We started right out of college. I was in college doing finance and getting ready for prepping for a financial advising job, and kind of found a little niche when I was there, and I just ran with it. And I tell you what, it definitely beats selling insurance. So I'm doing all right and enjoying every minute of it.
And it's awesome. How did you fall into this niche?
You know, I've done eBay and Amazon sales here and there pretty much ever since eBay was invented. And back in high school, I did odds and ends of things, from selling wholesale lists to selling car parts, and nothing that really ever took off. And finally in college, you know, I just found something that worked, and after I realized it worked, I just ran with it. And the essentially what I do is I'll buy a pallet of broken electronics. We'll get them fixed at bulk rates, and then we just put them right back on Amazon. And from that, we're actually able to advertise to those customers. And in boxes, we'll say, hey, you know, we buy back used electronics. And a lot of times, those customers will contact us with whatever they have. And we make them an offer, and then we have it shipped straight to our warehouse, and we sell it back on there.
Man, it's insanely cool. We got to break this down a little bit. So you're buying bulk products, you're getting them fixed up at a wholesale rate and then reselling them. How did you break down this formula to find the people to fix it, to hit the margins and really hit the numbers that you are right now?
Well, initially I was getting something fixed myself, and I saw, you know, the price that I was able to scrap that item for and the price it cost me to fix it wasn't that much. So I realized there was a little bit of margin, maybe a little gap. And it was actually just an iPod. So the screen on the iPod was cracked, and I went and sent it in for repair, and it was fixed. So I looked online, and I saw there were a lot of iPods being sold with cracked screens and all kinds of issues. And I, you know, added the repair price plus the salvage price they were selling at on eBay. And I saw, you know, an after repair cost. You could definitely make a profit. So it kind of stemmed from there. And I had ran a little bit of trouble in the beginning because a lot of people were doing it. But, you know, like I said, I found more of a niche product, not iPods or iPads or cell phones, but, you know, photography equipment, cameras, camcorders, and a lot of older stuff from the 90s and 2000s that you wouldn't think would still be selling. But a lot of people are still using them.
Now, are these collectors still buying these cameras like this? Or
not so much collectors. A lot of what I sell are the old tape cameras that, you know, if you go into Best Buy today and ask for a tape camcorder, they'll look at you funny. Everything's hard drive and memory card recording. But there's a ton of people like my parents, even grandparents, who still like the tape format. And they're still, you know, if they're old 1997 TRV tape model camcorder breaks, they want to get the same exact one because they're not into learning anything new, so they want to stick with what they know. So
true.
Yeah.
So you started with one iPod, fixed that, hit a margin, you saw a market for it, and you just exploded with everything. Take me back along your journey here. Was there, you know, a misstep you took, or were you on fire fresh out of college up to this point?
No, you know, It was probably my senior year. Yeah, last semester of college, I quit my job because, you know, my weekly income at that point from my Amazon sales was, you know, it was exceeding my monthly income at my job. So it was almost a no-brainer. And that was a nice feeling to not have to wake up and go to work. And instead, I just woke up and rolled over and sat at my computer desk. So,
hey, that's the American dream right
there.
That's what everybody wants. But,
you know? Buying inventory is pretty tough when you're a broke college kid. So, you know, I used whatever savings I had, but I was definitely in the need for some funds. So it was right after I graduated. I said, I need a business loan, but I didn't know who was going to loan to anyone. You know, I'm a college kid with no experience, no income, no nothing really. So I had a little bit of difficulty finding someone to loan. But eventually, after, you know, 4, maybe 5 phone calls, I found a small business loan company, and that's really what launched me. I got a $30,000 business loan, maybe 6 or 7 months out of college, and I was able to buy a ton of inventory, and the rest is history.
Man, it's so awesome that you just covered that, because on the show here, I'm really big on, you know, talking about ways to raise capital, because that's everybody's holdup. They're scared they can't get the money, and when they do try to get the money, they get their first no and they quit. They just step back and say it doesn't work. Now, I'm sure you got a couple no's before you got that $30,000.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, they run your credit, which is fine. But when you're 21 years old, your credit history is pretty short. So even if you have good credit, it doesn't really matter because you have nothing to show for it. So, yeah, it was probably about 4 or 5 bankers. And then I did, you know, use the biggest resource available online. And I did some Googling and researching and looking on forums and listening to podcasts like this. I came across a company called Axion USA. I want to say they were out of Boston. And, you know, they were slightly better than what a hard money lender would be. I didn't want to go the hard money lending route because, you know, that can get pricey, all the points
right off the top and
the high rates. So this was somewhere between a bank loan and a hard money lender as far as the terms went.
Yeah, I love it. You wouldn't accept a no and you just kept going until you got that yes. And now with your business, I mean, how many units are you moving right now of these cameras?
We probably sell about 300 to 350 a month. And last year was the first year we topped $1 million in revenue. And
wow.
This year we're probably on track for 1.4, 1.5 right out of my basement. So
$1.5 million out of your basement. And share with everybody how old you are.
I'm 26 years old. And the first year out of school, I was 22. And I think I did $35,000. And it's just grown from there.
Man, I love every minute of this. And everybody needs to listen in on this because it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your history. All you have to do is take action on something you really want and don't stop until you get that yes. And look, 1.5, 1.6 million in revenue. I mean, at 26 years old, it's an American dream right there. It's great.
Yeah, it's not so bad. It beats waking up and doing the 9 to 5, that's for sure.
Hey, I'm going to be following you around next week and taking notes on all your steps. All right, Adam, going back a little bit on this, and I'm always late to the party when it comes to online stuff. Probably the past year, I found out about affiliate marketing and just fell in love with the idea of it. I mean, to me, that felt like true passive income. So I set up some niche websites and promote affiliate products through Amazon and eBay and companies like that. Now, do you do any affiliate marketing of your own?
Yeah, you know what? Just like you, I was pretty intrigued by when I learned about affiliate marketing. Passive income is great. The camera sales I do is definitely not passive income, so I was definitely on the lookout for some passive income. And if you go on YouTube or go on Google, you see all these guys who are making 6 figures or $10,000 a month doing nothing. And it doesn't really boil down to doing nothing. There's a lot of work that goes into it and some maintenance, but it's as close to passive income as you can get. So what I did was I just used my website that I already had, upbeatelectronics.com, and I used Amazon's platform for the affiliates. So if for anyone who doesn't know what affiliate marketing is, there's different ways to do it. But for me, what I did was created my website and I would list models of camcorders and I would have some reviews, I would have some videos, I would have some information about them. And then there would be a link where they can go buy that. And the link would take them over to Amazon. Now, I didn't always have these cameras in stock, but what affiliate marketing is just earning a commission on the sale. So you're just bringing people over from your website to where they can buy it, and you're earning a commission on that. So people, you know, if I didn't have something in stock, I would still be able to make some money on the affiliate commission. And what I learned real quickly was there's a lot of money to be made doing it, but there's a lot of time required to do it. And my business takes up a lot of time. My real estate business takes up a lot of time. So it's kind of been on the back burner for now, but I saw the potential it has, and it's huge.
Yeah, that's why I noticed about it as well, and that's what had me so intrigued with it. You're right. You do work hard up front with it, but once the traffic's coming in, and like you said, I mean, you have a site that's promoting a certain product, and if you're out of stock, you could still get a piece of the action just by transferring to the next guy that has that deal.
Exactly. And you said it. You said niche product, and by niche product, you can't come up with just anything you want or anything you're interested in. One of the first websites I created was one of my favorite hobbies. It was golf. And, you know, there's a lot of golf sales that happen every year, but it might not be as many sales as electronics or iPads or anything like that. So, you know, if you create a niche website on yoga mats, what's the commission on a $9 yoga mat? It's going to be, you know, it's going to be in the pennies. So you do have to select your website wisely. You have to offer products that are high priced, and you know, you can make some serious commission. My best month affiliate marketing, I made about $300, which obviously sounds like nothing, but if you saw what work went into it, you would be pretty impressed that $300 could come out of it. And out of that $300, $112, $113 was on one item, and it was a $2,500 lens. So you can see right there, if you have some expensive items on your niche website, you're going to make some higher commissions.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. You know, $2,500 lens that you didn't have to put the money up for. You didn't have to really market or anything. They just went right through you and closed out the sale, and you got a piece of it.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be any better. I mean, the thing that pulled me into niche marketing was someone on a forum post talking about going out to dinner, coming home, checking in the computer, and seeing they made $1,200 in their niche affiliate website. And I didn't quite get to that level, but we set it aside, and I'm definitely going to come back to it when I have some more time and resources available.
That's awesome. Yeah, we have to touch base on that more in the future with both of our strategies on how we're building that.
Definitely, definitely. And I'd love to hear about what you have going on, because I know you've been busy with it too.
So you got this great income coming in. You got a business that's just flowing for you. Minimal problems, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
But from there, you start investing and buy and hold real estate. Let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah, so after I worked my business for about a year or so, I realized this working from home thing is too good, and there's no way I can ever not do it. So, you know, just like any business, whether it's, you know, you own a mom and pop shop or a franchise, whatever it is, you're always run the risk of potentially going out of business, whether it's from competition, you know, market changes. Look at the BlackBerry, you know, that was hot for 1 year, and then 5 years later, they're dead. So I wanted to do something with my money that I knew would last forever and would enable me to be a self-employed person for the rest of my life. And I knew real estate was, you know, I've always had an interest in real estate from a young age, and I knew that was my ticket there. So I just started reading up, listening to, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours of podcasts, and that's kind of what got me into the real estate itch.
Man, I hope everybody's taking notes on all this right here, because you're just laying it down on everything, and I appreciate that. So, you know, you got to diversify. I do the same in everything I do. I try to keep a hand in a little bit of everything. So with your real estate investments, how many do you have? What's your strategy on these?
Sure. Yeah. I purchased my first property only about 18 months ago now, and I'm already at six. So once I saw the first one worked, I kind of took off. You know, I've just been saving. You know, I do make six figures, but I drive a used car. I try to, you know, penny pinch when I can, and my fiance thinks I'm incredibly cheap, but you never know when the business money is going to run out. So I don't want to be that guy who did real nice for 3 or 4 years and now he's flat broke because he spent all his money on Gucci watches. So
I'm spending
all my money on real estate. And six properties is what I'm at. And I do finance them through the bank. And with that, you're looking at about 20% down on each property. So the properties I purchase range anywhere between, you know, $35,000 all the way up to maybe $65,000 in the Cleveland market.
Now, I'm sure you know, I do all private and hard money funding on my deals, and you're doing traditional financing. Are you doing the rehab fix-up cost out of pocket? Are you able to structure this with the bank?
Yeah, right now we have been just doing strictly out-of-pocket rehab costs. So if I didn't have my business with all the cash flow it's bringing me, obviously I'd have to maybe take an alternate route. But luckily, unfortunately, I am able to rehab these the way I want them. For instance, you know, we're doing a house right now in University Heights. If I didn't have this kind of cash flow, I would save up for the down payment and probably rent it as is. But because I do have some extra money coming in, I put a little money into them. I don't buy any major rehab, but, you know, carpet, paint, minor repairs, maybe, you know, $2,000 to $8,000, maybe 10 max, and then it's ready to go for the next 30 years. Not that I won't have maintenance, but the main things are set, and it's ready for a nice tenant to move in there.
That's great. I mean, you're setting yourself up for true passive income by putting in the money now, and then you'd step back and you're getting that cash flow from here on out. Mm. Now, Tell me a little bit about the loan structure on these. Are you doing 15-year loans, 30-year loans?
Yeah, you know, I contemplated that for a long time, and a great resource, the internet, of course, but BiggerPockets, which I know you're on, and, you know, I had someone tell me once that you shouldn't do real estate unless you have a mentor, and I looked, and I talked to people, and I wanted to find a mentor. I even met, you know, Rob the House guy, who I know you know, and talked to everyone I could, and then I realized I had about a dozen plus mentors at my fingertips with BiggerPockets. So pretty much any question from there on out I had, I went on BiggerPockets and I posted it. And rather than getting one mentor's advice, I got 30 mentors' advice. So after that, I decided to go 30-year loans because I'm a big fan of leverage, and rates are extremely historically low right now, as you know. So I want to use all the leverage I can. And what I mean by that is cheap money. If I can borrow at 3.5-4% rate, and have someone pay my mortgage off, I'm going to do it over a 30-year period.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be really cash flow positive then if you're using traditional financing, you're putting 20% down, and over a 30-year amortized loan there, I mean, your portfolio's got to be great with monthly income with that.
It is, and there's plenty of guys that do what you do in your philosophy, and you know, you pay cash for a property and you own it outright and you're raking it in month after month after month. And that's just a great way to do it. I have taken a slightly different approach. For me, I want to buy an asset that I couldn't typically buy, which would be, you know, a $60,000 house is you're using leverage when you buy that. So eventually I'm going to own this asset and I'm only going to have paid very little of my own income on it. So yeah, month to month, I am not showing as much money, but I'm looking further down the road, you know, in 15, 20, 30 years, these houses are going to be paid off and hopefully they're going to have appreciated somewhat because they're in pretty decent, not a super nice area, but I would say C+, B- areas that, that definitely people want to move in.
Oh yeah. They'll appreciate for sure with the current situation, everything's on the upswing and yeah, you'll definitely reap those rewards on the back end as well. And you know, you said you do your real estate investing a certain way, I do it another way, and that's something I always try to tell people, because I meet a lot of guys and they always want to give their pitch, no, this is the right way to do it. And really, if you're making money, it's the right way,
right?
So whatever works for you, if you're cash flow positive, that's the right way, stick with it.
Right, and a lot of guys have different tolerance for risk. You know, the one of the guys on BiggerPockets who was an old timer said, you know, get the houses paid off, have tons of money rolling in, you don't have to worry about recessions. But then you have another philosophy, like Robert Kiyosaki's philosophy, who I know you've heard of. You know, he's all about leverage. So as soon as you have some equity in that property, pull that equity out and buy a new property. And,
right.
You know, that's using your money to the max. But if 2007, 2008 comes again and the Great Recession comes again,
then we could all move back in with our parents.
Yeah,
you know?
That's going to come back to bite you. So you only want to leverage so much. And again, it's all about your risk tolerance.
Man, I mean, this is a killer interview, Adam. I appreciate you coming in on this.
Oh, not a problem, Mike. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to share my experience. I was, you know, only 3 years ago, I was sitting there. I look back on my forums on BiggerPockets, and you can look at your questions from day one all the way up until now, and you should see some of the questions I was asking only 3 years ago. You know, how to make an offer on a house? How many years are loans? The questions were just so dumbed down, and I've come so far in 3 years, so it's not hard. It's just like anything else. Well, as soon as you start doing it, it's a foreign language, and then after you've done it, you say, how did I not know this already?
That's it. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you could be on there now. I'm sure you're on there now giving advice to the other newbies. Just take the baby steps, the proper steps.
Exactly.
And you'll achieve that level of success you're looking for.
Exactly.
So, Adam, tell the listeners, where can they find you at if they want to connect with you?
Sure. Yeah, you can. If you're interested in any kind of electronics, upbeatelectronics.com. And you can also Google Upbeat Electronics Amazon and you'll see a link to our inventory. You can get me on Facebook. The name's Adam Craig, just how it sounds. And my email address is acraig4, and that's at kent.edu. And feel free to hit me up if you want to chat.
Adam, thanks again for coming in. This was a killer interview. I really appreciate your time. And I know the listeners are going to get a lot out of this. If we get a high demand for you, are you going to come back in and give us some more?
Oh, yeah, anytime, Mike. What you're doing is great. And this knowledge that you're providing your audience is just a great resource.
Man, thank you very much. Well, you heard it, everybody. Adam's only 26 years old, over $1.5 million in annual revenue, and he's just killing it at everything he does. So take action today, take those steps, and let's make it happen. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalder.com or connect with me on Twitter at michaelalder34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody, thanks, and let's take action today.